Warning: The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
Yes, indeed. I'm live, but where's my song, Neil? I'm live, but where's my song, Neil? I'm live, but where's my song, Neil? I'm live. Oh, there's my song, Neil. I've given up all my belts. I've switched to suspenders. Welcome to the Savage Nation. Yeah, I can see why men wear suspenders now. Never understood it. Thought they were quite fuddy-duddy. I went down to see the Day of the Locust. Yeah, I went to see the Day of the Locust down where Robin Williams hung himself. And they're there. The vermin are there. The vermin in the media who destroyed and are destroying what's left of America. The lowest slime on the planet. The American television media. They won't go away. And here they come from around the area and around the nation. The lowest, the most misshapen. The sickest with the balloons and the clowns and the little things they put on the stoop as though that will bring him back. Whole families are showing up now in family vans in order to leave their little present for themselves. It's the American society of today and the American society of yesterday, and God knows the American society of tomorrow. It's the American society of alienation and the colonization of social life by the media. That's what we're living through as we watch what goes on outside Robin Williams' house. Now, yesterday, I did a show unequaled by anybody in the history of the American media, and it was mentioned by nobody because it went over their heads. So I'm going to ask you something. If you're a regular listener to the Savage Nation and you heard my show yesterday, I need you to call right now. I need you to call, not asking you to call, and tell me whether or not you want me to continue with my questions that I used yesterday on the airwaves on this show, which were predominantly about suicide. And how it's affected you. In other words, did someone in your family commit suicide? And how did it affect you? And there was a reason for the show. I thought we had some amazing callers. And I thought I did a first-class job of balance in terms of my own personal views of Robin Williams and my otherworldly views of suicide. The phone number is 855-400-7282. We're going to continue with that subject as well as some other things. I got to tell you a little story about the vermin and the vultures in the media that won't go away from the street on which Robin Williams lived. There's an elderly couple that lives on the street. They're friends of mine, and they said they can't sleep now. Around the clock, the generators are running on these satellite trucks, pumping out noxious, disgusting fumes on trucks that say they're for the environment, all the good liberals inside these trucks, especially one, an independent satellite uplink provider named PacSat, has a monstrous diesel fume spewing truck. So the old woman said she went up and asked the nice, bald, big man on the truck, could you please turn off your generator? And he said, no, I'm not turning it off. She said, but my husband and I can't sleep. We're choking on your fumes. He said, call the police. It's too bad. Well, she said she called the police, and the next morning she found out that there were no phones. And by the way, write this down, all you people in the news. The street and the streets around Robin Williams' house have no telephones and no cable service because the rats in the media tried to bootleg fiber optic cable in order to broadcast pictures of flowers and fools. You see, just as there are people who bootleg electricity and bootleg water, these wonderful people have bootlegged as much cable space or whatever you want to call it as they can possibly get their hands on it. And they're running their diesel generators around the clock, caring nothing about the environment and nothing about the neighborhood. I only hope that the Tiburon, California police go down there and get rid of those pigs inside the trucks and tell them to either shut their generators off or get the heck out of there. They're not doing anybody a service. Again, I'm asking you again, do you want me to talk about suicide or not? Do you want me to talk about what suicide does to people or not? Do you want me to continue with my viewpoint that suicide is an act of aggression or not? Yesterday I said that the act that Robin Williams committed was an act of aggression. Some lightweight in the media said that it was an act of cowardice. He got it wrong because he's sort of off by a half penny on everything. Shepard Smith is a lightweight with a half a brain, a nice enough guy, but he didn't understand the medium in which he was working, nor did he understand the situation of suicide. He tried to get it right, but like my dog Teddy, he doesn't have the sufficient genes to do a discussion on a human level. He can only get it about 90% right. And of course, he castigated himself, and then he apologized for it. Well, I'm not apologizing. I'm not going to apologize. There's nothing to apologize for. What Robin Williams did, in my estimation, is an act of aggression, especially against his wife and family. You don't do that. A man doesn't do that unless he wants to hurt somebody. It's that simple. That's my position. That was my position yesterday. That's my position today. That will be my position tomorrow. And right now I want to play something that's astonishing. I want you to listen to a podcast done by Mr. Williams in clip two.
Good morning, Vietnam!
That's the wrong one. You know, in one more minute I'm going to break the microphone. My board operator got everything wrong already today. The good thing I'm wearing suspenders. Try it again, Neil. Try clip two. Try clip two, Neil. It's a national show. All right. I'm really having a lot of trouble today. I can't seem to get the crew to operate properly. Clip two, Neil. Robin Williams. Clip two, Neil. Robin Williams. 855-472-8.
You have a pretty good life as it is right now. Have you noticed the two houses? Yes. Unbelievable. Have you noticed the girlfriend? Yes. Have you noticed that, you know, things are pretty good, even though you may not be working right now? Yes? Okay, let's put the suicide over here on discussable. Let's leave that over here in the discussion area. We'll talk about that. First of all, you don't have the balls to do it. I'm not going to say it out loud. I mean, have you thought about buying a gun? No. What were you going to do? Like, cut your wrist with a water pick? Maybe.
All right, well, that's when he's doing an improvisational imaginary conversation with a suicide counselor. And, of course, the rest is history. And we don't have to pick at the bones of this man, but I do think it's very important that we talk about suicide. Because in a society such as ours, which is terminally ill, I don't want people to think that it's a choice. You see, the American left, consisting of the good liberal, the humanists, you know, those who have eschewed religion and think God is dead. No, they don't think God is dead. They killed God. They crushed God's brains. They kicked God's teeth in, and they laughed as God went rolling down the cliff. And they said, who needs you? We don't need you. We're gods unto ourselves. We live in the San Francisco Bay Area. We are God. See, those people say to you that if you don't want a baby, abort it. If you don't like your life, end it. And that means if you're 9 years old and you're unhappy, end it. See, that's the ethos of humanism. That's the ethos of liberalism. That's the ethos of a dead society. I'd like to take your calls on some of these topics, and before I do at 855-407-282, I want to direct your attention to a very important novel from the 1930s called Miss Lonely Hearts, The Day of the Locust, or Miss Lonely Hearts by Nathaniel West. It's been lost to history, but it was a very important book. And what it is, it's about a newspaper columnist, an unnamed male newspaper columnist who calls himself Miss Lonely Hearts. And he writes an advice column that most people at the newspaper consider to be fake and a joke. But people who listen to Miss Lonely Hearts take him seriously. And he gets letters from desperate listeners. And as he reads their letters and he reads their stories, Miss Lonely Hearts feels terribly, terribly sad. And he goes into a cycle of depression. He becomes a heavy drinker. He gets into bar fights. And things happen to him. And he tries several approaches to escape the terrible pain he lives in as an advice columnist. He tries religion. He takes trips to the countryside. He has affairs with other men's wives. But none of it works. None of these things ameliorate Miss Lonely Heart's situation. The novel is called The Day of the Locust or Miss Lonely Hearts. It's an amazing thing to witness. Maybe you remember it, maybe you don't. But I want to read you a paragraph or two on the Savage Nation. 855-407-282, if you care to sound off on this or anything else to do with this subject. So again, I'm going to read you a paragraph to show you what a great writer is, as opposed to the dreck that passes for writing today. the stuff that receives the prizes in Hollywood. Here's how it goes. New groups, whole families kept arriving. He could see a change come over them as soon as they had become part of the crowd. Until they reached the area, they looked difficult, almost furtive. But the moment they had become part of the crowd, they turned arrogant and pugnacious. It was a mistake to think them harmless curiosity seekers. They were savage and bitter, especially the middle-aged and the old, and had been made so by boredom and disappointment. All of their lives they had slaved at some kind of dull, heavy labor, behind desks and counters, and at tedious machines of all sorts, saving their pennies and dreaming of the leisure that would be theirs when they had had enough and would retire. Once they were there in California, the land of sunshine and oranges, they discovered that sunshine isn't enough. They get tired of oranges, even of avocado pears and passion fruit. Nothing happens. They don't know what to do with their time. They haven't the mental equipment for leisure, the money nor the physical equipment for pleasure. Did they slave so long just to go to an occasional picnic? What else is there? They watch the ocean waves come in at Venice. There wasn't an ocean where most of them came from, but after you've seen one wave, you've seen them all. Their boredom becomes more and more terrible. They realize that they've been tricked and burned with resentment. Every day of their lives, they read the newspapers and went to the movies. Both fed them on lynchings, murder, sex crimes, explosions, wrecks, love nests, fires, miracles, revolutions, war. This daily diet made sophisticates of them. The sun becomes a joke. Oranges can't titillate their jaded palates. Nothing can ever be violent enough to make taut their slack minds and bodies. They have been cheated and betrayed. They have slaved and saved for nothing. That describes the crowd leaving flowers outside Robin Williams' house. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282.
Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I, Michael Savage, trust to buy my gold and silver from, SwissAmerica.com. Back to the Savage Nation. So I would say that I did the most balanced show in the history of the media on the suicide of Robin Williams, but I'll tell you what's pissing me off. What's pissing me off is the vermin in the media is what's pissing me off. Their friends, the Islamists, are cutting off people's heads and burying them alive, and they're reporting about an actor who hung himself. Over and over again, it's all they're going to talk about in order to cover up their Islamist friends who are taking over the whole Middle East. Precisely because of these people on these satellite trucks and these idiots with pancake makeup. I'm talking to you, sir. You, the broadcasters. You in television, you ought to be ashamed of yourself. You do what people with 10 times your salary and 10 times your brains tell you to do. Have you no shame? This is what you cover over and over again while the world is in flames because your hero, Barack Obama, has destroyed the world? You don't talk about his vacation in the midst of all of this, about Nero fiddling while Rome burns. You're not doing your job. You have become nothing less than a lapdog of Barack Obama and the liberal media. Shame on you, but you have no shame. You're incapable of it. Let me take some calls right now on the Savage Nation. Marsha on WJR in Detroit. Go ahead, please.
Good afternoon. I just want to let you know that I was listening to a local radio station this morning on WJR, 5:30 to 9, I think is the slot. And Paul W. Smith made the comment that he thought, and he mentioned you by name, that your discussion yesterday was the most important statement made on suicide and Robin Williams and the entire situation that has occurred. I was quite surprised that he mentioned your name. Never heard him.
Why shouldn't I? I mean, I mention other people's names if they do something that I'm interested in, and I congratulate you for reporting, and I thank him for mentioning it. But it's not about me. It really is about America. How do we hope to fix this sick thing unless we talk about it from an intelligent perspective? How do we ever fix this? I'm just speechless from it. I'm speechless, but thank you for listening. You'll notice that there's not one word about Michael Savage's amazing show yesterday. Oh, well, there's Rush Limbaugh. I'm sure the genius came up with something. Robin Williams and pop culture. Ooh, there's a Nobel in that one. Everyone but Michael Savage, even from my friends. WND, not a mention. And they're my partners. They don't even mention the show. Isn't that amazing? So you talk about who has friends and who are your friends. And, Mike, do you have any friends? The answer is no, I have no friends. I am a man alone. I'm an island unto myself, by the way. I have no friends in the media. I have no friends in person because I choose to have a dog as a friend. I'm lucky I have a very close family that I see from time to time. But fundamentally, you have to walk alone. And this is, I got to reiterate, it's one man's opinion. I want to talk about suicide. And I want to talk about it to prevent one person from killing himself. And the only way to talk about it is to talk about the devastating effects that suicide has on those around you. Robin Williams' act of aggression against his family is not to be omitted. You don't hang yourself while your wife's sleeping in the other room unless you're sending her some kind of message. What was that message? What message was Robin Williams sending to his lovely wife in the other bedroom? Tell me. Darling, I love you. What was the message? I'm not allowed to ask the question. First of all, he's a public figure. Second of all, the whole world's talking about it. But I'm not going to sit here and paint pictures of rose-colored clouds. This is a very dark story. It's a very dark story indeed, and there's much more to his suicide than meets the eye. KSFO, Misty, welcome to the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Michael, I have some important things to say. Your show yesterday was one of the best shows that I've ever heard. And I encourage you to keep speaking the truth in reference to the beheadings that are going on. I echo all of your sentiments. My heart is still grieved and in shock.
The Nazis in headscarves who chant to Allah. Let me repeat it in case someone missed it. The Nazis in headscarves who are chanting to Allah, wearing Ku Klux Klan masks, are burying minorities alive in the Middle East, and these rats in these satellite trucks and their pancake make-up bosses are covering the death of a comedian. What else can I say about it? Why do you think the Islamists are able to make the moves they're making around the world? We have a putz for a defense secretary. Hagel should be impeached for what he's let going on. Look what Hagel's been doing while this has been going on. Cutting the military. Cutting weapon systems, making certain that there's every story about sexual harassment he could find in order to debase and deball our military. And take a look at what's happening as a result.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Talking about the warped American media. We're talking about the sick American media culture. We're talking about the mentally deranged cult of personality. While the Islamo-fascists are murdering religious minorities, including Christians, the entire world is concerned about all the details of the suicide of an aging comedian. The Pope has just issued an urgent appeal to stop violence by the Islamo-fascists in Iraq. He didn't say Islamo-fascist. After all, he's a man of religion. The Pentagon, as you well know, is useless, filled with useless idiots who have tried to destroy the military, not save America, nor anybody in the world. Here you have people trapped in a mountain. We have all the airplanes necessary to save them, all the munitions necessary to kill those threatening them at the foot of the mountain, and we're doing virtually nothing except dropping bottles of water. And the Pentagon is checking to see if there's any furtherance to the sexual harassment stories that the feminists who have inveigled their way into the military can come up with. So they can drum out the real men who run the military, see if they can drive out a few more pilots and put in a few more non-flyers as the chairman of the Air Force. That's what's going on under Barack Hussein the golfer. Joe in Albuquerque wants to talk about suicide. Welcome to the Savage Nation, Joe.
Hi, Michael. I think you should just keep talking about it, and I want to tell you why. I've been contemplating suicide myself for the past couple of months, especially this past week. And not that I really cared about Robin Williams or any of that, but when he committed suicide, I said, well, if a guy like that could, why not me?
Hold on. This is very important. The amount of attention he is getting posthumously is going to trigger a lot of copycat acts around the country from people who are desperate and lonely and want attention. Am I right about that?
Absolutely.
And that's what worries me. What worries me is the vermin inside these satellite trucks who will not leave the neighborhood. Anybody who walks by, they try to interview. If an ant goes by, they put a microphone in front of the ant's feelers to see if they can get something on the air. So what's preventing you from hurting yourself? I hope something.
Well, your show yesterday, I'm not going to say prevented me, but it did make me think about my kids and my wife.
Oh, boy. You mean before I talked about it, you really didn't even think about what it would be like for them?
I'm telling you right now, I didn't care. My problems are so overwhelming that it didn't matter.
Okay. So now this is important for me. This is important for me. You're saying that your life is so black that you can't see outside the darkness, and you don't see anything but darkness.
Correct.
Can you isolate for me what your single biggest problem is? Is it financial?
It is financial.
Okay, well, believe me, that's not to be dismissed. In other words, people say, oh, it's only money. Well, try living without it.
You know, and I saw a guy like Robin Williams who probably had a lot of money. And I said, well, if that guy, you know, he had reasons. And, I mean, my reasons are they're not valid because suicide's not a choice. But your show made me think. And I think that more people need to think. And I agree with you that copycats will be out there. We'll hear about them maybe or maybe not. But it is a dark world when you walk around every day wanting to take your life, you know, and you just got to pick yourself up every day and keep going no matter what, right?
Look, listen to me. Here's the thing to remember. I mean, I'm not a religious person in any way. But the thing for you to remember is this. Just think of your children, because I heard you say in the midst of the darkness, that's what you thought of. Is that correct?
That is correct.
Okay. How old are they?
16 and 27.
Now imagine what their lives would be going forward if their father was found dead with a gunshot to his head.
My son would be devastated.
I want you to imagine what they would see on the floor as the coroner comes with a body bag. Can you envision that?
When you said that yesterday, I envisioned that. And then I thought about it. I'm like, my God, it's an ugly scene. And it is a...
Very much. That's right. And that's what people don't think about. They don't think about what's left behind. And it doesn't really end your pain for one reason. You want to hear the reason?
Sure.
Because you inflicted pain on the next generation and generations after that, because they all say, we had a grandfather who shot himself. Everyone remembers it. It's in the family forever, for 2-3 generations or more, Joe.
Michael, I just want to thank you. You know, I mean,
Forget me. I want to go on with you for another minute. Joe, listen to me. It's very important. I didn't help you in any way. We're seeing only the ugliness and inside the ugliness, right? But now let's start looking at the light. There is light outside of that darkness, and I want you to listen to me carefully. Sure, money problems are devastating, and you've probably tried everything, and you can't seem to break out of this box you're in, correct?
Correct.
Okay. So what is the most pressing financial crisis that's upon you? Are you about to lose your house?
My wife worked somewhere for 14 years, lost her job. We had just started a business, so immediately everything is 911, and then her unemployment got canceled last week after 6 months. So, you know, everything is just, you know, we're behind on everything. And after a while, a man feels like he failed, you know. And
Hold it. Stop with the man failed. Society failed you. You didn't fail society. No. You see, this is the problem. Yes, your pride is at stake. And that's very important that you said that, Joe, because you're not going to hurt yourself. I know it right now. You just said a man feels as though he's failed. In other words, you're still a man, aren't you?
Of course.
Okay, so you haven't been so deracinated as a human being that you have nothing left. You have a whole soul left.
True.
In other words, your being is still intact. That hasn't been taken from you, has it?
I have my faith in God, yes.
Well, okay, so the wise person would say, let's pursue that in another time. I can't do it with you on the air. But we have to deal with your financial needs right now. And I never did this, Joe, but I'll tell you what I'm going to do. Are you willing to accept any donations from my listeners?
Sure, of course.
I'm not going to do it for anyone else today, Joe. I don't want this to become the show. I'll tell you what we're going to do. Joe, I'm going to put you on hold. You're going to give an email address. And then I don't know how to do it yet. We'll figure it out, okay, Joe? So hang in there. We'll see what we can do for you. Stay on the line. Give my guys your email address. So listen, folks, here's what we're going to do for old Joe. We're going to get him through the next month. How are we going to get Joe through the next month? I believe on michaelsavage.com. I don't raise money for anything anymore. I've decided to just take care of myself. My legal fund is still there, but I don't raise money. Have you noticed? I don't give lectures. I don't raise money. I give money away if I can. I think that on the top of my website, there's a link somewhere to the Savage Legal Fund. I don't know where it is. I never talk about it anymore. There it is. Go to the bottom of michaelsavage.com. It says Legal Defense Fund. You see it? Bottom right, michaelsavage.com. Sorry, your last action cannot be completed. Great. Anyway, there's a legal defense fund on my website that I hope to God is still operational. I pray to God it is. You can make a donation through my defense fund and say for Joe. I can guarantee you I won't take 10 cents from any donation. No handling charges, nothing. Not 3 cents, not a dollar, nothing. And I'm going to forward him some money from my fund in advance anyway. I'll send him whatever I think is needed to get this guy through the month, because I have a feeling that if we get him through a month, he'll be fine. It's the Savage Nation. And I want you to understand what just happened with that phone call. This, you helped save a man's life and a family's tragedy. By listening to the show, you have given me, let's say, this show. By listening to the show in such great numbers over the years, I was rewarded by Cumulus with the biggest stations in the country at the best time of the day. So there must be a reason for this. It must be fate. And maybe the whole fate was to save one man. I don't know. Maybe Joe is somebody. I don't know Joe. But maybe Joe has something waiting to... Maybe the world is waiting for something that Joe will give us months or years from now. I don't know what Joe does for a living. I didn't ask him. We have no idea. Do you understand what I'm saying to you? There's a saying in my religion that goes like this. He who saves a single life, it is as though he has saved the entire world. Now, compare that with the Islamists. I want you to listen to what I just said. There's a Jewish saying that comes from the 11th or 12th century by a great rabbi called Maimonides, who wrote, "He who saves a single life, it is as though he has saved the entire world," which is why there were so many fabulous doctors of the Jewish faith going back to ancient times. It's also because the Bible, if you read Leviticus, it has a lot to do with diagnoses of various illnesses, including leprosy. So that's an important thing to remember. Now, compare it with the Islamists, who claim that they're Muslims and kill in the name of Islam, and they not only say he who takes a single life, they probably say he who takes only a single life is a bad man. He who takes many lives is a saint. I don't know what their sayings are, but I do know it's not a religion. I do know that the black mask, the Islamo-fascist operating in the Middle East and elsewhere, they're not practicing a religion. They're practicing a death cult, which I've said for 10 years now. Others are copying my statement, death cult. It is a death cult, and it's hidden under the guise of a religion, which is how they get away with it, which is why our CIA, FBI, DHS, DOD, you name it, is intimidated by their front groups. The front groups have scared them to death, intimidated them from rooting out the proto-Islamists inside our intelligence agencies, the crypto-Islamists inside our Defense Department. They're afraid to even notify themselves of what they see with their own eyes, for fear that they'll be called out as somehow anti-Muslim or racist. Listen to what I said, and I stand by those words. So yeah, we're talking about suicide, but at the end of the day, because I have your attention, I'm concerned about the suicide of America. America is dying from an autoimmune disease, and any of you who know what an autoimmune disease is knows that my diagnosis is correct. This is a body politic that has turned on itself, and I don't mean Democrat versus Republican. This is a body politic that has a retrovirus that has invaded it, that is being metastasized by a liberal ideology that unto itself is a virus. This is the Savage Nation. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I, Michael Savage, trust to buy my gold and silver from, SwissAmerica.com. What's the truth between Robin Williams' suicide? Answer, I don't care. Welcome back to the Savage Nation. America is in a suicide watch right now. With Chuck Hagel in the Defense Department, it won't be too long. With John Kerry as Secretary of State, believe me, we don't have long to wait. Here we see a picture of an Islamist child holding up a man's head that the father just cut off. And I want you to listen to what this dimwit, John Kerry, has to say about the Islamofascists as they rage across the Middle East in clip 10.
This image, perhaps even an iconic photograph, is really one of the most disturbing, stomach-turning, grotesque photographs ever displayed of a seven-year-old child holding a severed head up with pride and with the support and encouragement of a parent with brothers there. That child should be in school. That child should be out learning about a future. That child should be playing other kids, not holding a severed head and out in the field of combat.
Do you understand the danger we're in, that this is the United States Secretary of State? He did not mention the word Muslim once. He didn't say Islam once. He didn't say Islamofascist. He says the child should be playing with other kids. The child should be in school. Really, John? Just like a school marm, huh? The liberal ideology. He should be playing, but he isn't, John. He's playing with someone's head that his father cut off. Why don't you talk about what you should be doing to the father and his cohorts? Why don't you talk about the fact that this administration is playing golf while the world burns? John, this is the world we live in, the suicide watch of the United States of America. They got everything wrong. The death cult is on the rise around the world, and we here in America have a golf cult. Let's go to some of the callers, 855-400-7282, Pennsylvania, WEEO Radio. Welcome to the Savage Nation.
Hi, Michael. Thank you for taking my call. As a father of a son who put himself in a situation, in a suicide situation in 2011, I want to tell you that it does devastate the family. I am currently still in counseling at a military installation near my house, and I was deployed overseas in Afghanistan when I got an email from my oldest child saying to call him urgently. And it does devastate the family, and it's such a loss.
I'm very sorry to hear it. There's no greater loss, as you well know.
Right. It's a selfish act. I mean, there's times I'm very sorrowful, and there's times that I'm very angry because it is a selfish act.
Well, I understand that, but I think it's better that you not be angry towards your son. I think it's better that you understand what he did, that it was a selfish act, but that's not the emotion that's going to help you. In other words, having anger towards him is only going to make you feel worse, because then you're going to get guilty about feeling anger towards him. And then mixed in with that is the fact that you were deployed overseas in Afghanistan and you couldn't help him, and then you don't know who to blame. I mean, you were doing God's service and service to the country, and there you were, and your son was calling out and you weren't there for him. So this is a complicated problem for you. I understand that. You yourself were in the military. Was he in the military, Ron?
No, he wasn't. He was a good, hardworking individual. He just got mixed up in drugs and alcohol. That was his escape, and we had
American poison, the cancer of our society, drugs.
Exactly. Yeah, he was
the cancer of our society, which begins with one puff of one marijuana cigarette.
Yes, his problem was prescription meds. He was on three different types of antidepressants, and I think that took him into a deeper, darker place than we could realize.
Oh, yes. Antidepressants are not as benign as the old pill pushers would like us to believe. The old pill pushers, the medical quacks, who for everything there's an antidepressant.
Yes,
I mean, if you want to reserve your anger, reserve it for the medical quacks who put them on antidepressants.
Oh, I do. Trust me, I do. That's the first thing they wanted to do when I returned from Afghanistan was put me
on. Oh, in other words, your grief they wanted you to mask with another pill. The geniuses who put your son over the edge.
Exactly. The faith is the only thing that's gotten me through this situation. I'm going on 3 years this December, but faith has actually got me through this, and there is a higher
power. You know something? I don't want to roll over that word. Tell people what you mean by faith. It's important they hear it.
Just believing in God and believe there's a higher power, and he's there for you to support you no matter what situation there is. Even your previous caller there that called in and had a family, and the finances is a big thing right now. The country's being destroyed by this administration. And
well, we're out of time, but, boy, we're not out of time for anyone else who has a story to tell on the Savage Nation. 855-407-282. The real truth about Robin Williams' act of aggression.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE. Savage. Warning, the Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
We're talking about the true story of Robin Williams' suicide and what it really means. What it means in terms of a nation that's committing suicide by having elected Barack Obama and permitting a man like Chuck Hagel to commit suicide inside the military, a suicide of the military, by the military, and for the military. Why does Hollywood and the media romanticize this man and his death? Do you think that the vermin outside Robin Williams' house running their generators around the clock are there because they want to help heal something? Is that what the trucks are doing there with the men in pancake makeup? Interviewing a dog that walks by on the street? That's what we're talking about. We're talking about those people in America who are either thinking about committing suicide and because of, let's say, this situation or my show yesterday have said, wait a minute, I never thought about what it would do to anyone else. We had a caller in the last hour named Joe who said because of yesterday's Savage Nation show, he's not going to whack himself, to be blunt about it. He has serious financial problems, but he realized because of what I said, that Robin Williams committed an act of aggression. He didn't think about what effect it would have on his children until I told him, think about it. So anyone listening to this show who understands where I'm coming from, let me repeat again. If you're one of those people on the edge, all I want you to think about is the coroner arriving and the scene they will find and what image that will have in your child or your wife's or your husband's brain forever, unto the third generation. And also think about what you're going to look like inside that body bag, the mess you're going to leave behind. And therefore, also think about the crime you're committing, the homicide you're committing. See, it's not suicide, it's actually homicide. It's an act of murder. It's an act of murder. Every religion on earth prohibits suicide. You wouldn't know that from the humanist American media, where they say if it feels good, do it. If it feels bad, kill yourself. If you don't want the baby, throw it into a dumpster and go back to the dance. That's all. You're pregnant? Oh, the baby's in the way of the dance? Throw the baby in the dumpster and then go back to the dance. That's what they teach a 14-year-old girl today. Meanwhile, St. Louis is on fire because the Middle East is on fire because the Islamo-fascists are on the rage. You have an ethnic cleansing. You have a religious genocide. It's going on in front of your eyes the way the genocide went on during Hitler's time. Don't blame your parents for having done nothing during the Holocaust, because you're doing nothing during the Holocaust. That's what you're doing. And you have this impotent airstrikes by Barack Hussein the golfer. Airstrikes. Airstrikes. Beyond belief. It's the Savage Nation. These are the topics. I want to take a moment to thank the Marin County Sheriff's Department for that incredibly honest news conference yesterday. I have no idea why anyone would condemn them for it. I felt as though I was living in a real world for a few minutes. The Marin County Sheriff, who gave that presentation of what was found inside Williams' garage, what did he do that was wrong? I don't quite get it. But you're so used to liars that you think the lie is the norm? And so when the sheriff gives a real honest account of what happened, because that's what they're supposed to do, you're mad at him? You ought to be mad at Robin Williams, not at the sheriff's department. The sheriff didn't try to cut his wrists and then hang himself from a doorpost. Don't be mad at the sheriff. Be mad at Robin Williams for doing this to the country and to his wife. Don't get mad at the sheriff. Your mind is twisted. Your wires are crossed. The sparks are flying out of your ears. WJR, George, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Michael, once again, you're 100% spot on in regard to the death of a nation. We're witnessing it. We're in it. I'm sure you've read the book. Another point with Robin Williams, I wouldn't be surprised if perhaps the wife was contemplating or telling him she's going to leave him once he got back onto his old ways. That could be a contributing factor. And with
let me pause right here. We're all speculating. We don't know what went on about what went on, but he was saying something to someone, and the someone had to be the woman in the other room.
Absolutely. Yeah, a profound, aggressive statement, see ya. And with Joe, again, have him do what he needs to do. I'll check up on the website, but in a previous life as a crisis counselor, Suicide is a permanent solution to a temporary problem. Keep up the good work, and we love it.
Hold on. Stop. Stop. I never heard that one. I want you to repeat it slowly for everyone listening to the Savage Nation. I never heard it. Go ahead.
You got it. Again, in the previous life as a crisis counselor, we would get many a suicide call late at night, and one of the bits of training we had was to remind them that suicide is a permanent solution to a temporary problem. And what you did with Joe was correct. You try to drill down where it's at in your prescience. You knew it was probably financial, which is 9 times out of 10. And you gave a good show yesterday that, to me, goes down in the history books.
Well, all I can say is thank you, and thank you for giving us that statement, a permanent solution to a temporary problem. I never heard that one before, and we in the talk show business like to think we know everything. Well, we certainly don't. And I want to take my hats off to the suicide prevention counselors out there who are doing the job that this country so badly needs to be done. And again, let's not get lost in the ethers. Again, I, Michael Savage, I want to personally thank the Marin County Sheriff's Department for doing a superb job yesterday of reportage. And anyone who's criticizing you is the fool. They're the wrong ones, not you. You did the right thing, and that's what America needs more of, the right thing and the honest thing, not more of this big lie with teddy bears and balloons. 855-400-7282. KSFO in San Francisco. Kevin, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Well, good afternoon, Doctor. I don't ordinarily have the opportunity to listen to your show, but I just happened to be listening today, and what you said really struck a chord with me, and I was a first-time caller, but I was had the urge to call and support your position and what I believe.
Yeah, well, my allegation is that suicide is an act of aggression, and it affects the children and the survivors so severely that people should be thinking about that, not themselves.
Absolutely. It is 100% an act of aggression, and the media should not be romanticizing this.
What is this constant sympathy for Robin Williams? Why is no one saying in the media, wait a minute, that was an act of aggression that he committed?
Yes, and Doctor, please just let me speak here. The same thing with Junior Seau when he did that. Same thing with Mr. Williams. We should not be celebrating them. We should be judging them by their final act. Let me tell you the effect that it had on me when my father committed suicide when I was 6 years old. I'm 36 now, but it really it causes a lot of turmoil for a kid growing up. I didn't get over it, and really forgive until roughly 20, 25 years later. But it causes a kid to become aggressive. It causes a kid to not care about others. It really dehumanizes a kid.
Did it make you feel as though you had failed your father and that's why he killed himself? Was that the initial take-home message?
Yes. And let me tell you, why it was an act of aggression in my particular case. When I was roughly 4 or 5 years old, my parents divorced. My mother went out and met another man, and after the divorce, got pregnant and had another child. A month before my half-brother was born, my biological father killed himself. Now, when I look back at it, it is an act of aggression. He was doing that to get back at my mother. It's obviously an irrational...
So another... Wait, hold on. You are agreeing that it was an act of aggression on the part of your father, but what? He was saying to your mother what by killing himself?
He was saying, like, ha, I have the final,
Okay, right. You may have left me. You may have gotten impregnated by another man, but I'll show you who really has the power here.
Exactly.
Okay, let's pause there for 1 minute, because that's what I think this is about in Tiburon, California. There's something that is something to do with sexuality here. There's some kind of masculine-feminine control thing here.
It could be that. We're speculating. It could be,
He's a public figure. That's right, and I'm allowed to use my mind. The last I checked, we were allowed to use our minds in the country. I didn't have to go through some filter that's controlled by NBC.
Right. But it probably has to do with a combination of alcohol, marital issues, and aggression on the part of Mr. Williams. I think those are three main factors.
All right, but the bottom line is that you are the survivor of a father who killed himself when you were a six-year-old. You're now 36, and you never listen to talk radio, but you happen to be scanning, and you heard me talk about my opinion that suicide is an act of aggression, and basically you agree with that take-home message.
100% agree with you, and the way to get past it, I'm now a supervising attorney for a Fortune 500 company. The way to get past it is to forgive, accept Christ, and move on. And
amen. So you did find religion was a salvation.
Yes. Also,
all right, we'll have to pause at that point. I thank you so much for listening on the great local station in San Francisco, KSFO, because I started on this station. I revolutionized talk radio in America in 1994. When I went on KSFO, it was a small signal, 5,000 watts. And when I came on the air, no one had ever heard anything like it. 20 years later now, I'm still at it. I'm on, I don't know, 250. I don't know what the number is. But I'm on the biggest stations in the country, thanks to Cumulus. And you say, okay, great, and what? Well, listen to me. Here's why, what. How many months have I spent on this show telling you what a gift it is to be on radio? How many months have I told you it may be considered just a throwaway medium, you know, a few jokes here and there, joke around, talk your politics? No, there's always something deeper, and there's always some more profound reason for everything on earth. I was not saved in my life when I was down and out. I was not given this great gift of these stations simply for my own ego and a few dollars in my pocket. It could be that all of this occurred to save one life. We don't know whether Joe is that one life or someone who's listening in silence and is not going to call. But that one life may be important to many lives. I don't know the answer. But the minute I come back, I'm going to tell you a religious story about suicide. It's actually a religious story about we don't know the meaning of these things. The whole meaning. We really don't. I'll be back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now. 855-400-SAVAGE. 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com. The only company I, Michael Savage, trust to buy my gold and silver from. SwissAmerica.com. It is the Savage Nation. I want to tell you something. We're talking about suicide as an act of aggression, and people are calling from around the country, including the last caller who's never listened to talk radio. It just shows you when you touch on certain subjects, you know, the wavelength picks people up who never even listen to radio. And everyone wants to think about the suicide of Robin Williams because it touches everyone in a different way. It's not him per se, by the way. It's not that he was so great. The subject itself is pretty compelling, isn't it? Man who had everything and killed himself in such a dramatic way and such an aggressive way while his wife slept in the other room. Yeah, it's a real story to talk about. So I've been asking you how suicide affects you because it affects everyone around you. No one thinks about that. But if we can save one person today or yesterday or tomorrow, good. Now listen to this story. It's a very important story. The religious Jews, known as the Hasids, are very mystical. The ones who understand the mysticism of the Kabbalah understand this story better than any. So there's a rabbi, an ordinary guy, not a particularly sagacious scholar. He was a rabbi. And he gets a call from the head guy in Brussels. The head rabbi sends a message, you have to come to visit me immediately. He doesn't say why. They don't work that way. So the rabbi in New York makes his plans. He has to go to Brussels. He gets on a plane. The plane stops in London. And the plane to Brussels is delayed. And he has to spend time sitting around the airport. He's sitting around the airport. And a stranger is next to him. And they start to talk. And the stranger opens his heart to the rabbi because he figures he's a religious guy. And he says this. He says that. Finally tells the rabbi he was considering committing suicide that day. And the rabbi asks him, well, why? And he tells him why. And finally, the rabbi explains to him that this is one of the greatest sins you could ever commit and the devastation it will cause to those around him. And by the time they're through talking, the man says, you know, you've opened my eyes. I'm not going to hurt myself. Thank you very much. The rabbi gets on the plane in London. He flies to Brussels. He goes to see the head rabbi in Brussels who had called him, and the rabbi in Brussels says, so tell me what happened to you on the way here to see me in Brussels. He says, well, not much. He said, I had a layover in London, and we were delayed, and I met a guy who said he wanted to commit suicide. And the rabbi says, and? He says, well, after I got through telling him what God's view is, he said he wasn't going to do it. So the rabbi in Brussels says, good, now you can go home. That was the reason. So, I mean, this is a kind of a mystical story, but it's also a practical story. And it's a story that I want to give you here on the radio because maybe it will help someone understand that there are forces at work in the universe that are not apparent to us. And let me just leave it at that. I'm not going to describe anymore because I don't have the capacity to describe it anymore. Anyone who's been alive long enough understands there's more to life than A and B. There's more than the two or three dimensions that we operate in, and there may be spiritual elements that we don't even understand. And the further we disconnect ourselves from these spiritual elements, or however you want to describe them, the more isolated we are, the more alienated we are, the higher the likelihood is that we will hurt ourselves, one way or another, or in all ways possible. Okay, 855-407-2822 is my phone number. It's the one and only Savage Nation on your local station. I'm going to take another call in a minute, but listen, after we take our commercial break, the regular one at the bottom, we're coming back, we have an amazing guest, Paul Sperry, and his new book called Infiltration, and it's about how the Islamists are already here, how they've penetrated our government at the highest levels. I don't think you're going to want to miss this, because if we're talking about the suicide of a single man, you ought to be more focused on the suicide of an entire nation. 855-407-2822 is the phone number on the Savage Nation. I wish I could take a call, but I can't. Neil, play a little music because I'm a little winded right now. That mystical story got to me somehow. Because maybe that was the whole reason for my radio career, that one conversation with Joe. Now maybe I can just go home. I don't know. Can I hang up my shingle and go home now? I don't think so. I don't think so. I got another big hour and a half here to go on the Savage Nation. I intend to make use of every single sweeping second with you, the listener, right here on the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Hot Talk 560, KSFO.
Welcome back. You're live with the Savage Nation across America, and we're talking about suicide and the effects that it has on others. And before we go to our guest, which we'll go to in a minute about the suicide of our nation, I want to read you something from a really amazing Muslim poet. Those of you who don't understand me at all, don't understand me at all, but Khalil Gibran wrote in Arabic. And I was very touched by him when I was very young, as were many people of my generation. And he wrote on sorrow and loss, or joy and sorrow, as follows. He said, your joy is your sorrow unmasked, and the self-same well from which your laughter rises was oftentimes filled with your tears. And how else can it be? The deeper that sorrow carves into your being, the more joy you can contain. Is not the cup that holds your wine the very cup that was burned in the potter's oven? And is it not the lute that soothes your spirit the very wood that was hollowed with knives? When you are joyous, look deep into your heart, and you shall find it is only that which has given you sorrow that is giving you joy. Now, you know, when I was a college kid in Queens, New York, way back in the late 50s, when someone lost a girlfriend, we used to read them Khalil Gibran's line. It says, look deep into your heart and you shall find it is only that which has given you sorrow that is giving you joy. That was about the girlfriends. He says, when you are sorrowful, look again in your heart and you shall see that in truth you are weeping for that which has been your delight. Some of you say joy is greater than sorrow, and others say no, sorrow is the greater, but I say unto you they are inseparable. Together they come, and when one sits alone with you at your board, remember that the other is asleep upon your bed. You are suspended like scales between your sorrow and your joy. Only when you are empty are you at standstill and balanced. When the treasure keeper lifts you to weigh his gold and his silver, needs must your joy or sorrow rise or fall. Khalil Gibran, there's so much more on joy and sorrow as America now contemplates not only the death of a single comedian, but in many ways, those of us who are more thoughtful and far more knowledgeable, the death of an entire nation. I want you to contemplate the fact that people are being buried alive in a genocide unlike any we have seen since Hitler swept across Europe, and most people are looking the other way, especially those of the liberal persuasion who do not want to accept the fact that it is their very liberalism that has given birth to this vulturous, homicidal Islamo-death cult. Paul Sperry, welcome to the Savage Nation. Your book is called Infiltration. What is it about?
It's about the infiltration of Islamists inside the government influence operations they've had to support terrorism and jihad over the years, before and after.
How deeply have the Islamists infiltrated our government?
Well, they got really far with a guy named Halil Zadu, who was Abdurrahman, who was got inside the White House, got inside the State Department, or called him.
But Paul, I don't mean to interrupt, but you're talking about those that we know. I think you also allege that there are those we don't know in the government, correct?
Oh, sure. Yeah, I mean, they're operating right now, and we don't know. We haven't done the proper vetting, just like we haven't done the proper vetting of those who we've allowed to get inside and infiltrate the security forces over in Afghanistan who are doing these insider attacks on not just our soldiers, but now two-star generals, as we saw last week with the assassination of General Green.
You know, I call what's going on an autoimmune disease of our society, especially an autoimmune disease of our intelligence apparatus, in the sense that they're afraid to even say what they see going on for fear that they'll be called racist. I think that's what you say in your book as well, isn't it, in different words?
Yeah, you were just speaking about suicide. We're committing politically correct suicide. I mean, listen, we don't even blame the bad guys, these so-called rogue green-on-blue attackers of our military over there in Afghanistan for the insider attacks they commit on our troops. We blame our troops and put them through Muslim sensitivity training. They've got a full-blown program over there for them. They're saying that, oh, you're offending them too much. That's why they're killing us and shooting you.
Oh, my God. In other words, we failed them. That's why they killed our general. Is that it? That's the mentality?
It's all about hearts and minds and winning hearts and minds, not the war. And, you know, we have to show them we trust them and respect them, and so they'll like us.
Utter nonsense. That's the mentality that's running the world. How bad is it, though, Paul? Your book is called Infiltration. By what I can see as an outsider, you've studied it more than I have, it seems to me the entire government is paralyzed by these crypto-Islamo-fascists who are advising them.
No, it's true. I mean, we've never really had an enemy like this, though, that's motivated by religion. And so we don't know what to do here. Because we respect, you know, even talking about any religious controversies in this country is taboo. So we're our own worst enemy.
I try to fix that on my show every day, Paul. All right, I highly recommend your book. It's called Infiltration. I assume it's available in all bookstores, Paul.
Yeah, it's on Amazon as well. All the major bookstores, Barnes and Noble.
Well, thank you very much for being with us, and I really appreciate your hard work. Let's get back to the topic at hand, which is the destiny of the United States of America, as exemplified by the destiny of Robin Williams. What Robin Williams did has touched hundreds of millions of people. Now, remember this. My dog Teddy knew his dog Lenny. We met many times on many walks, and very often, it was always pleasant. I want to reiterate again. He was a very sweet man in public, and that's all we can talk about. There wasn't a person in the neighborhood who will have a bad thing to say about him, whether it's a child or an adult. He was nice to everybody, took time to talk to everybody, which is a big deal for a Hollywood star, and he was an iconic Hollywood star. Don't fool yourself. In other words, if this man went anywhere in the world, people would recognize him. And here he was, ordinary guy, hung around with the neighbors. I can't say the same for me. We talked about dogs, but that's as close as we got, because politically I know he was a member of the opposite political persuasion. He was a member of that which has, I think, weakened the brain of this country. But I never said that to him. I figured leave it alone. I think the first time I ever ran into Robin, I introduced myself to him, and I said, you know, I live up the street. I said that we now have the opposite ends of the political spectrum in the same area. And he laughed. That was it. We never turned it into anything more than that. But he did. A year later, as I said to you yesterday, tell me that a very, very, very famous man who you probably don't even know, Mort Saul, was one of his great friends who apparently was a big listener to the Savage Nation and receive my daily newsletter and whatnot. He wanted to meet me, so he arranged that, and I took Mort to dinner, and that was pretty wonderful for me, given that I was a little boy when Mort Saul was already a grown, successful comedian on stage. But I wouldn't call him a comedian. I never call Mort Saul a comedian. He was a social commentator, the way talk show hosts are. Only he didn't have a radio show. He had a stage. I think I saw him at the Village Vanguard when I was in my 20s. I remember drinking Black Russians, and I mean, it could have been Lenny Bruce afterwards. I don't remember. It was him or all of them. I saw them all. And the life goes on. I went into one field, and eventually in 1994, I wound up on the radio. Now, here we are 20 years later, and we're dealing with an America that we could never recognize, could not recognize what's happened to this country. Now, that would be well and good if it was still a state of, well, oh, so what's so bad? You know, people can still go about their business and everything's fine. Is it very fine? Liberalism is ruling the country virtually in every institution. There's not an institution of America that has not been liberalized. And I'm going to ask you, is it a better world or is it a more dangerous world? Do you feel safer or do you feel more threatened? Do you think your children are going to inherit a kinder, gentler world, or will they have their heads cut off as they're given a choice to convert or die? Because that's what's going on right now, only you don't want to know. It's a result of Barack Obama, John Kerry, Hillary Clinton, and the rest of them, the Rat Pack that did this to us. The Rat Pack of liars, the liberal liars in the Rat Pack, have done this to the world, soothing us with their lies that it's a religion of peace, that ISIS is not what they, what we see it to be. They miscalculated everything. In fact, we have a tape of our dear leader. We have to find this piece for you right now. Obama on the Al-Qaeda. Just play it, Neil. It's unbelievable. Listen to this one.
Our strategy is also shaped by a deeper understanding of Al-Qaeda's goals, strategy, and tactics that we have gained over the last decade. I'm not talking about Al-Qaeda's grandiose vision of global domination through a violent Islamic caliphate. That vision is absurd, and we are not going to organize our counterterrorism policies against a feckless delusion that is never going to happen. We are not going to elevate these thugs and their murderous aspirations into something larger than they are.
That was John Brennan, who's still in power. He said they're never going to become bigger than just a bunch of thugs. Now they've taken over northern Iraq and a good part of Syria, and they've got hundreds of people trapped at a mountaintop, burying 500 alive because they're not Muslim. Yeah, John, you sure had it right, didn't you? It got you very far, didn't it? The liberal gobbledygook that you did so well at, you and John Kerry, got you real far with your legs crossed and your tie made just so right. You sure learned how to make that Windsor knot, John. That Windsor knot got you right to the head of the agency, and look what you've done with it, John. KSFO Gloria, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Yes, Dr. Savage, I thank you for all the information you've given, well, practically a lot of people, It was very good yesterday and today, and I believe that you're the person that that for some reason or other, you're there. You have the clarion call, you know, of the people to wake up in this society that is so dormant, and they don't know what's going on. And that's what makes me more scared than anything, because, you know, anything you say about them, and they don't want to hear it, and about what's going on.
Here, the CIA director himself downplayed the threat from the Islamic Caliphate. He said it was absurd. That's John Brennan, then Obama's counterterrorism chief and now director of the CIA. He dismissed the danger of an Islamic caliphate as absurd.
Well,
does that make you sleep? Does that make us sleep better at night? Is that going to make you sleep better at night, knowing that the people who should know better or don't know anything, and that anyone who says it is now considered an enemy of the state? I guarantee anyone who criticizes him will be on a watch list, if they already are not on the watch list. Because absolute power, as you well know, corrupts absolutely. Here we have the Islamic State, meaning the Islamo-fascists, declaring a caliphate in a territory covering northern Syria, northwestern Iraq. And they're seeking global domination. And they're a growing threat to Iraq and the entire West. And yet Mr. Brennan has not yet come out and said, wait a minute, I was wrong, we better rethink this. And the president, though, is on a vacation right now, golfing. Obama's out there on the links. And he's giving statements such as, "Will, we better make sure that the Islamic State is not engaging in the actions that could cripple a country permanently. Sorry, I got to get back to the party. There's a fundraiser coming up." And there's John Kerry. There's John Kerry, so concerned about the child in the photo, the Muslim child, the Islamo-fascist Muslim child, holding someone's head. Listen to what John Kerry says again in clip number 10.
"This image, perhaps even an iconic photograph, is really one of the most disturbing, stomach-turning, grotesque photographs ever displayed."
All right, John, and what are you going to do about it?
"Child holding a severed head up with pride and with the support and encouragement of a parent with brothers there. That child should be in school. That child should be out learning about a future. That child should be playing with other kids, not holding a severed head and out in the field of combat."
We know what he should be, John, but do you get it yet? He's not. Mr. Kerry, he's not out there with other kids playing soccer. He's being taught to cut off the heads of Jews and Christians and Yazidis and Hindus and Buddhists. Anyone who's not a Muslim, John. Do you understand that, Mr. Kerry, or is that not possible in the State Department that you're running? Now you understand the vacuum in which they function. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
See, that's a Marin County hero you're listening to. He did a very, very popular song called High on Cocaine, called Casey Jones. Another icon of the Marin County illiberal left. The type that they can't get enough of. That's what they taught your child. High on cocaine is the way to go. Meanwhile, ISIS is recruiting in central London. Leaflets encourage Muslims to pledge allegiance to the jihadists in London, Londonistan. FBI says black hate group in Missouri town promoting violence against police. That's something else Marin County's liberals would approve of. I mean, that's part of their ethos. That's their ethos, the liberal. FBI says black hate group in Missouri town promoting violence against police. They hate the police, except when they need them. The liberals of Marin hate guns and they hate police, except when they need them. And, of course, if I asked you, guess who's coming to dinner, the answer is people who look just like themselves. But believe me, they're not racists. I guarantee you that. Well, there's some other stories on my website. Swing voters likely would hate Obama's amnesty. Every poll shows lopsided opposition by independent and swing voters to Obama's amnesty. No matter what the media will tell you, everyone does not want it. WBAP in Dallas. Sandra, you have the last word of callers today on this hour. Go ahead, please.
Yes, sir. I'd like to thank you. You saved my life. You got myself and my husband off of marijuana, and our life is so much better. I just thank you so much. I really...
Oh, you mean over the years where I've been warning people about the dangers of tetrahydrocannabinol?
Yes, sir. Thank you so much. I've never listened to anyone but you. I listen to all the people telling you it's okay and all these things, and it's okay, it's better than drinking. It's not.
No. And then, by the way, I'm not encouraging anyone to drink by telling them not to smoke dope. You get that, right? I'm not giving you the alternative to go out and get a bottle of Jack Daniels. None of the above is the right answer if you're an addictive personality. The only safe addiction is talk radio, as far as I can tell, both giving and getting. This is about the only safe addiction there is. You know, for 3 hours a day, there's no greater high than being on the radio. I got to tell you, that's why I do it for 20 years. I think it was said a long time ago that I think Janis Joplin, a friend of mine, said to me, Janis Joplin said that those hours on stage is greater than any drug she's ever taken. But then when she gets off the stage, there's no greater low. Well, over the years, I've learned how to deal with the highs and the lows, let me tell you. And I want to thank those of you who leave the show right now for being with me on the Savage Nation. And for those who stay for another hour, I got a big hour coming for you on the truth behind Robin Williams' self-immolation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage. Warning, the Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
It is the Savage Nation Hour number 3. We're going to talk about the aggressive act of suicide and the devastating effects that such an act has upon loved ones, because it's not being talked about at all. The media has it all wrong, as usual. They have everything wrong. They have this wrong as well. And the fact of the matter is, suicide is a very important topic from the perspective of those that it affects after the person is dead. Those who find the body, for example, the children, the wife, the husband, the mother, the father, the sister, the brother. Why are they not talking about that? Because the media reflects the narcissism and the humanism of our times, where it's all about the self. Oh, the self was so black. Oh, the self couldn't go on. Oh, the self felt so bad that the self had to end itself. You see, that's the extent of the people inside the satellite trucks. That's the extent of the people with the microphone standing in the street outside Robin Williams' house with the pancake makeup, the empty heads, the idiots in high school who couldn't get anywhere who became news people, the morons who look at every passerby as a passable storyline, the idiots inside the news trucks that run their generators around the clock polluting the neighborhood while reporting on global warming. See what I'm saying? So I want to talk about the issue of Robin Williams' aggressive act. This was a very aggressive act, by the way, extremely aggressive, very, very symbolic at that. When you think about it, I mean, his lovely wife was allegedly asleep in the other room, according to the sheriff's department, and he did this, but he didn't do it with pills, for example, which, you know, you say, well, okay, pills, what's the difference? Well, A, there's a difference in how you do it. You want to talk about that? It's pretty graphic. Pills, you go to sleep, and no one, yeah, they find you asleep. Horrible, but they find you asleep. They didn't find him asleep. They found him with a belt around his neck, sitting, you know, let's not go into the details here. I don't even want to know any more than we know. But I want to, again, take the time out on my national talk show to thank the Marin County Sheriff's Department for doing a beautiful job and a very important job and an honest job in a world of lies. And naturally, because they did such a perfect job, they're being criticized by all the liars in the media who do rotten jobs every day by not reporting the truth. A man was seen accosting a child. A man, no description, no race, a man. A man was seen running down the street. People say, well, what do you mean? How can we help you find him if we don't know what he looks like? Those are the people in the media now who are mad because the Marin County Sheriff's Department there described the gruesome details of this horrendous act of violence committed by Robin Williams. And I'm sick and tired of focusing so much on it, I admit. But I think that because it's drawing in listeners who would not normally be here, maybe they'll come to understand the bigger story, which is that of a nation committing suicide. There's a genocide going on as we speak, a genocide that is growing by the day, where those who are not Muslims are being told to convert or die. They kill them. They're burying people alive in the Middle East. So you now are the good German. Those of you who are now considered to be enlightened liberals are now the good German. You're looking the other way because you don't want to admit that you were wrong in electing the fraud in the White House, and most especially by promoting this philosophy that he seems to project. So let's talk about some of the topics. How has suicide affected you in your life? Why does Hollywood and the media romanticize death? We've all had dark days. What kept you from going over the edge? Remember I told you yesterday that I went through a bad phase many years ago, and I don't know what it was called. I think I wrote a long journal called The Guardrail, and it was how I hope I established guardrails. I don't know how long they'll last, but last I checked, they weren't rusted out. I was facing the abyss, and it was financial now that I think about it. You know, it's funny now that I think about it. I thought it was something deeper, but it really wasn't. I was a young father. I had worked 20 years, or at the time, 15 years to get a higher degree, a PhD. And when my time came to collect my union card, they told me, drop dead because you're a white male. We're only hiring minorities, women, and illegal aliens. We don't care that you have an almost straight A average out of the University of California. Drop dead. We'll take dummies as long as they look good. And so now you have the universities that have melted down. But at that time, I needed that income. I had worked for it. I couldn't get it. So I contemplated it until I Look, I don't want to go into details, but I think it was a religious revival in me that saved me. I'm pretty sure it was. Not I think, I know. I know it was that that saved me. It wasn't even, to be honest with you, I don't think I thought very much about the family. Well, now that I think about it, it was a little bit of that at the time, the darkness, where I couldn't go on. There was nowhere to go. I was in a, no matter where I turned in that black circle, there was no out of it. I think Sartre wrote it, I think he wrote No Exit. I think it was called Le Huis Clos or No Exit. I don't remember my French that well. No Exit. Remember Sartre's existentialism, so passé by now? Oh, Freud is passé, Sartre's passé. Oh, everyone's passé, except the latest lesbian poetess on The View. But Sartre wrote a pretty amazing thing called No Exit. Or was it someone else? Who knows? I don't remember. It was a long time ago. But when I was in that circle of darkness where there was no exit and there was no light at the end of the tunnel, I honestly didn't think about what an act such as that would do to my family. I wasn't able to think that far. You hear what I just said to you? I guess that's why I'm trying to get across to those of you listening to this show who may be on the edge to only think about that, because you can't. You can't see that. You couldn't see it until I told you to look at it. And then I think I met someone who said to me, I want you to envision what will happen if you do it. I want you to envision the mess you'll leave behind in the body bag being carried out of your house. Well, that was chilling, but no one had ever said that to me. Because it was always, oh, my, feel sorry, you know, feel sorry for yourself. Then I can't go on. Woe is me. The world's so bad. Blah, 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 blah. Well, you got to think about others, not about yourself. So that's the story here. And I think that's what we're trying to do on the radio show for the last couple of days. Incidentally, for those of you who know what I'm talking about, I've left that neighborhood. I'm gone. I'm in another neighborhood. I'm not going back. Except to get a few personal effects. I want nothing to do with the vermin in the media. I can't stand them. They're the people who destroyed this country to begin with, and now they're doing a terrible thing now. The independent satellite uplink provider, PacSat, for example, is in the street with a truck that's spewing noxious fumes around the clock with their generators 24-7. 24-7, you ask them to move the truck, they tell you to drop dead. And then they go on to cover a global warming event by Al Gore. All the good liberals, who I had a screaming match with because an old man asked me to go over and talk to them. And I said to them, could you move your truck? You're poisoning the air. The guy can't sleep. They said, go to hell. No, we're not moving the truck. So when I started to yell at him, he said, ah, there's the real Michael Savage, the one we've all come to love. That's what I'm talking about. That's the American Bay Area vermin that have destroyed the country. Right then and there inside those trucks. So I've left the neighborhood. I've left. Elvis has left the neighborhood. He's gone. Elvis is gone. Elvis and Teddy are gone. When are they going to leave? When in the world will those people leave everyone alone and get the heck out of there? Just go cover some other horrible act. Just get on with your life. Cover something else already. Why don't you cover the genocide going on in the Middle East, you geniuses, you? All right, what do you want to say on the Savage Nation? We got great callers here at 855-407-282. Picked up new affiliates in this hour, and let's go to some of them right now. WMAL in Washington, D.C. John, welcome. What's on your mind with regard to Robin Williams?
Hi, Michael. Michael, I've had two people in my family commit suicide, and you're exactly right. This is an attack, but it's something more than that. What someone does when they commit suicide, and I'd say this to Joe, particularly listening to him, what you're doing is you're transferring the sins of your life to the people around you who love you, whether it be your children or your wife. That's what you're doing. So this life is already a burden enough. And what you're going to do is you're going to transfer the hell of your life onto them.
You okay. So it is an act of aggression.
It certainly is.
Now, why did... I don't want to dwell on... I mean, I don't want to delve into what you just said to me. You had two people in your family do it in a recent time?
No. One when I was a child and one when I was an adult.
Do you think that there's some genetic predisposition towards this?
I would say that everybody's life in a sense is screwed up, but maybe in some families maybe it gets...
You must be kidding. I thought I was perfect.
I just perfect. And until you come to realize that everybody is suffering in this world, we all have our own suffering, we all have to carry that. We all have to deal with that on our own. And
right. We all, you know, as they say, we all have a cross to bear. All of us are carrying a cross, every one of us.
You cannot do that type of thing because we are all suffering already. And what you are doubling somebody's burden in their life when you do that.
Well, true, but listen, here's what I was trying to say, is that in those darknesses, when you're in that woods, in the woods, in the darkness, you can't see out of the darkness. You can't see your children. You can't see your wife. You can't see your husband. You can see nothing. You're in such agony, you don't know what to do. And yeah. The only way to be helped is for some voice outside that forest to say, Joe! I'm talking to you, Joe. Look at your children's eyes. Don't do it, Joe. That's what someone has to say to you. That's what a medical doctor should say to you. Think about the devastation this will cause to your family, Joe. Stop thinking about your pain for a minute. But, you know, the call, I'll tell you, the greatest thing in the last 2 days for me was the caller who said it's a temporary solution. It's a permanent solution to a temporary problem, suicide. Thank you for the call. 855-400-7282 is the phone number. Michael Savage is the talk show host. By the way, we're getting a report that the PayPal link for Joe on my site is working. I can't get it to work.
On page 2, it's not the one at the bottom.
I don't know how to do it. The one on the bottom doesn't work. Okay, so look, guys, if you want to send money to Joe to help him out, and I'm not going to do it for anyone else because then it'll turn it into something I don't want it to be, but if you go to michaelsavage.com, go down to the bottom of the page, okay? And how do you get to page 2? Oh, it says page 2 news. You hit page 2 news. Ask Art to put it up somewhere else on the top. Yeah, put it where they can find it. They'll never go. Page 2 news. Blah. There's a picture of me in the Jag with Teddy. Yeah, it's in the shop again, by the way. I think it committed Harry Carey the other night. It flamed out. I think the Jaguar committed suicide. Cars are like people. No, it was interesting. It was the day I was having a bad day. The cars sometimes pick up our bad vibes? Old cars. New cars have no soul. New cars are like computers. They have no feelings and no soul at all. But old cars, pre-computer cars, I had a bad day Sunday. I took it for a ride. I said, you know, not bad. I bought this old Jag, and I've had a good time with it. I only put in about $5,000 so far. It's running great. Bingo. The next minute, it gave a cough. A little smoke came out of the bottom, and I limped home into the garage. I mean, did I put bad vibes into the Jaguar? I don't want old cars ever again. Just get me something new, made in Japan or whatever. I don't care. Oh, my goodness. I can't get onto page 2, by the way, no matter what I do. But I heard people made donations already today for Joe. And again, I want to say every penny will go to him. I don't want a dime of it. I'll add to it, too. I'll match every dollar with another $2. How's that? What time is it already? Oh, my God. Did I run late or am I in the second segment? Where am I? I'm in the first segment. I'm very late. It's 19 minutes after the hour. The phone number is 855-400-7282. That's how you can reach millions of listeners on the Savage Nation. Be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I, Michael Savage, trust to buy my gold and silver from, SwissAmerica.com. It is the Savage Nation. Everyone's on vacation except me. You know why? Because this is my vacation. I hope it's yours. How can you vacate your mind? Does anyone know how to do that? I'm not into Soma, and I'm not into vacations. I may take one, but the fact of the matter is, what is a vacation? You vacate what? Your brains? Your soul? What do you do on a vacation? Whatever, enjoy yourself. What do you do on a vacation? I suggest that you read The Day of the Locust or Miss Lonely Hearts by Nathaniel West, because it's all about fame, the fleeting nature of fame, and what fame does to people, and what people do to people in the media, by the way, and how they treat them, how they tear you apart, how they eat your flesh and bones. And at the end, they'll tear you to pieces. They may, at one point, pretend that they love you, but they want from you. It's not that they love you. They just want you. They want you to keep doing what you do. They want to take from you. They want to continue to take from you. And I think it's a rare individual who can give and give and give and get nothing back. I guess doctors are in that profession. Priests are in that profession. psychiatrists of all the doctors may be the most giving, which is why it has the psychiatry has the highest rate of suicide, by the way, the last I checked. It's not that they're all crazy. I mean, you know, you can easily make a facile judgment like that. But the fact is, why do you think psychiatrists amongst all the medical practitioners, the last I checked, had the highest rate of suicide amongst medical doctors? It's because they're Freud, again, put it in certain ways, is you're like a clean stream that has to collect the dirt from other people. All of the garbage from the other person comes into your clean stream. And eventually, the garbage from the other people's souls will pollute your own stream until you yourself go into that state where you can't take it. That's what he said. It's a pretty good and a pretty apt description. And I think that's true. I mean, how much burden can you... I once wanted to be a psychiatrist. I'll never forget talking to the family doctor. And I said, I want to be a psychiatrist. You know how the kid will put on an air, like he's going to be a pilot or he's going to be a this. And you try it on for size. And the doctor looked at me and says, why would you want to listen to people's problems your whole life? Well, that was the end of my psychiatric career. Right then and there. I never thought of... See, you don't know how powerful words really are unless you're in the word business as I am. I think there's a saying that's an ancient saying, to the Hebrew, the word is the deed. To the Hebrew, the word is the deed. I don't know when it was written or by whom. Look it up. But words can heal and words can kill. I wrote that 30 years ago. Words are so awesome and they're so powerful. Words can heal and words can kill. Don't you know that from your own relationships? From the things you've said to others that you wish to God you could take back, but you can't? Because they were like little knives. And once you make that cut, the cut will heal over, but the wound is always there. Words can heal and words can kill. And that's what we in the talk show business know every minute of our lives. Well, the time is flying, as they say, and the phone lines are open at 855-407-282. The Robin Williams suicide is the big topic, along with all the news right here on the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Now the bottom feeders are arriving on Robin Williams Street where he lived. The bottom feeders with the balloons and the flowers are there. And it's reminding me again of the vermin in the media and how they keep this going without telling us the real truth about what's going on around us. Nathaniel West, Day of the Locust, Miss Lonely Hearts, set in 1933, could have been written today about Robin Williams. The police force, he wrote, would have to be doubled when the stars started to arrive. At the sight of their heroes and heroines, the crowd would turn demonic. Some little gesture, either too pleasing or too offensive, would start the crowd moving, and then nothing but machine guns would stop it. Individually, the purpose of its members might simply be to get a souvenir, but collectively, it would grab and rend. A young man with a portable microphone was describing the scene. His rapid, hysterical voice was like that of a revivalist preacher whipping his congregation toward the ecstasy of fits. What a crowd, folks! What a crowd! There must be 10,000 excited, screaming fans outside Khan's Persian tonight. The police can't hold them. Here, listen to them roar. He held the microphone out, and those near it obligingly roared for him. Did you hear it? It's a bedlam, folks. A veritable bedlam. What excitement. Of all the premieres I've attended, this is the most stupendous, folks. Can the police hold them? Can they? It doesn't look so, folks. And that's what he's writing about. And then he goes on about these crowds of curiosity seekers like the ones now outside Robin Williams' house. New groups arrived. Whole families kept arriving. He could see a change come over them as soon as they had become part of the crowd. Until they reached the area, they looked difficult, almost furtive. But the moment they had become part of it, they turned arrogant and pugnacious. It was a mistake to think them harmless curiosity seekers. They were savage and bitter, especially the middle-aged and the old, and had been made so by boredom and disappointment. Again, I recommend the book I read in college that you probably may have heard of. I don't know, The Day of the Locust, Nathaniel West. It was a pretty important book in its time. And really, it was about the mass hysteria of crowds and what celebrity really is. 855-407-282 is the phone number. I want to ask anyone listening to the show who is offended by anything I said to call. Is anyone offended by my show over the last 2 days? And tell me why. WFTL Rick, welcome to the Savage Nation. Topic, please.
Hi, good afternoon. I just wanted to discuss, you know, earlier on in the show, you were basically throwing to the wolves the media, as you do very often, and without getting into too much detail, I am a member of a media organization. And, you know, I think that your comments are a little ill-intended, so to speak. You know, there's a lot going on overseas, but at the same point in time, newspapers have a lot of pages to print, not as many as they used to. Television networks, television organizations have a lot of airtime. And, you know, to say that it should be strictly, you know, they're not covering what's going on overseas. They absolutely are. They're just, you know, they're addressing what's going on in the local area.
Oh, they are? Really? You mean you've seen a picture of the Islamist 7-year-old holding a head that was cut off by his father? Where? Which paper ran that?
Isn't it the statement, you know, back in the newspaper days, all the news that's fit to print? They discuss it. They talk about it.
Oh wait, you mean that's not fit to print, but the death of a comedian is fit to print?
I mean, are they showing pictures of Robin Williams' head dangling from a belt?
Oh, no, they're not, but that's what they should be showing. But they're doing it, talking about depression instead, which is rubbish. This is not about depression. This is about the act of suicide and the effects it has on others. That might stop someone from committing suicide instead of glorifying it and wallowing in depression and telling people who are depressed they should consider suicide. Woe is me. No, I disagree with you. You take a look at any newspaper in the country and take a look at the rubbish that they're publishing. Why are they not publishing anything about the genocide going on in the Middle East? That's what I'd like to know.
Let me ask you a question. Have you ever seen a newspaper glorify and say that it's okay to commit suicide, or a television network? I could tell you, working in the media that I do, that the only time we ever cover suicide is if there's a unique circumstance to it. We do not carry suicide because of exactly what you're saying. So, you know, I 90% of the time, I agree with everything that you say. But in this particular situation, I've got to say that I do not agree. We do not suggest to people you should commit suicide if life is bad.
No, of course not. No, look, that's not what I'm saying. That would be absurd for me to have said that. I didn't say that. But what I'm saying is they're not saying what I think they ought to say, which is suicide is a terrible thing and don't do it. I mean, Robin Williams was not a good boy for doing it. I think they're getting the wrong message out there, which is that he was depressed, therefore he did the only thing that he could do, which is kill himself. Maybe they could broaden the coverage to include the devastation that this act inflicts upon others, is what I'm saying.
Hey, I agree to that.
But, you know, if you're in the media, what I was getting at were the trucks outside the street in Robin Williams Street, the satellite uplink trucks. Why are they allowed to be out there 24/7 spewing noxious fumes with generators at night when people are living nearby? Why are they not stopped by the police?
Well, I could tell you, being somebody who's worked out of a satellite truck, out of a television truck, being in the truck itself, you're smelling the noxious fumes. But, you know, it goes along with the line of work.
Well, listen to this. The pig, listen to me. This is important. There's a truck out there near his house run by a company called PacSat. And one of the thugs in the truck, as I went over, because an old person asked me to complain for them, he had the nerve to say to me, "We're not spewing fumes. You're lying, savage. This is while the fumes are being pumped out all over the street." He said that to my face. And I said, "You really are something. You're really in the right business for what you are projecting right now." I mean, they lie about everything, these people.
Well, I mean, you know, I can only speak for me and the organization.
The truck says PacSat on it, for those listening, and it says, serving NBC4 News in the San Francisco area. Shame on them all, and thank you, sir, for calling the Savage Nation. 855-400-7282. What are the best callers I have right now on the show? Obama mulls deploying troops to Iraq to rescue refugees. That would be good. That would be good. Hackers target city as police refuse to name teen killing cop. So the black youth, in St. Louis, who are allegedly there to protest the murder of an innocent youth, are robbing sneakers, robbing televisions, burning stores. That's really great. And the media, of course, is showing their picture. Oh, yeah, and Wolf Blitzer was there in all of his glory, interviewing one of the thugs who said how afraid he was of the police. And there was old Wolf Blitzer. There was the thug, one of the rioters, and there was Wolf Blitzer licking his boots. The bootlicker Wolf Blitzer was there fueling the fires. The only one missing was the Reverend Al Sharpton, who apparently got his reverend's degree from a Cracker Jack box because no one can find the actual certificate. But that doesn't stop those in the media from referring to him as Reverend. What is he revered for? Does anyone know? He hasn't made the trip out there yet. 855-407-282. Let's go to the Internet. Mitchell, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Yes, sir. I just really called. I'm pushing 60. In my life, I've been a victim of suicide twice. Once a family member many years ago, and once a very dear friend 2 years ago. And I really just called to thank you for talking about people like me, because we don't get talked about. The only person that gets talked about is the dead guy.
Wait a minute. You mean people like you in the sense that you were affected by the suicide?
Exactly what I'm saying. Suicide leaves a train wreck a mile long that you will take to your grave. It is a hurt that I can't even explain to you.
I'm glad that you said that. I mean, I don't think people understand what I'm trying to do. They may not even comprehend what I'm doing or why I'm doing it. I don't think they get it. But I'm really talking for the victims of those who committed suicide, those who were left behind.
Absolutely. And that's what drove me to call in. I've been listening to you for years, but I've never called in.
Well, Mitchell, let me say this. You know, you say you're pushing 60. You should. That's, you're a youngster. I don't mean, what do you mean pushing 60? You're just a kid. You know, I remember there was a show when I was a kid in New York, a TV show called Life Begins at 80. I was a kid. I didn't even understand it. But they showed people 80 years old and older who were full of life. Can you imagine the 50s? It was Life Begins at 80, and they'd show older people and how, what they did and how spry they were. We don't do that anymore because we hate the elderly in this country. We only want the 16-year-old slut, the drug addict, the one in rehab. That's the new role model. It's not Martha Washington. It's Martha Sluttington. Thank you for the call. I'll be right back on the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I, Michael Savage, trust to buy my gold and silver from, SwissAmerica.com. Who wants to think about eternity when the world's on fire? I mean, who would want to leave this world given what's going on? Who would want to leave the world with what's going on in it right now? How much better can it get? I mean, the ancient Greek philosopher said, it is good to live in interesting times. Man, thank you, Obama, for making these times so interesting. Who would have thought we'd have so much entertainment? The world's on fire and you're golfing. They're asking why Obama's returning secretly to Washington next week. After all, he's on vacation. It costs a lot of money. He's coming back without his staff. We were told he has everything he needs with him in Martha's Vineyard. What's he going for? Who's waiting for him? Who's he meeting? What's he going to do? Is he bringing his pen? Does it signal he's about to do something so dastardly to America that no one will even believe it happened? Who knows? Meanwhile, the Middle East is on fire and he's doing virtually nothing. Meanwhile, a huge convoy of trucks has left Moscow for Ukraine. They say it's a humanitarian shipment, but, well, you know it isn't. There's war about to break out now in eastern Ukraine. But what the heck? He's still on vacation. You know. And that's what's going on. 855-407-282. Lots of stories out there. You want to talk about Mrs. Doubtfire? Go ahead. I doubt that's the reason. Here's the headline on Drudge. Golfers angry at being frisked when Obama arrived to play. They don't even trust the golfers anymore. How do you like that? Golfers frisked as Obama arrives at Martha's Vineyard Club. Well, that's transparency. I mean, that's what Obama meant by transparency. He'd make you transparent. He'd have the NSA spy on you, and he'd have the Secret Service frisk you. That's what he means by the transparency. He said, we will be the most transparent presidency in history, and he's living up to his word. They can look right through you, and they can read your emails, strip you naked. What could be better? It's nice to be king. It's nice to be unaccountable, held unaccountable to anybody. What did you expect from a shadowy figure like Obama? You expected some honesty? You expected honesty from a shadowy man no one even knew who he was, where he came from, with no background to speak of in the Senate, a man whose transcripts were never released? You expected something better? That's the problem. It's going to get worse before it gets better. So you talk about suicide of Robin Williams. It's one man. How about a nation that's committing suicide? And no one will step in and say, stop it already. Think about the children that you're going to leave behind. Mr. Kerry, think about the children that are going to be left behind because of your incompetence. No, no one will say that to him. Nevada Faye, you're on the Savage Nation. What's on your mind?
Oh, just a comment on suicide. My guy committed suicide like 4 years ago. In the first 2 years, I locked myself in the bedroom and wouldn't even come out.
How did you get over this despair?
I'm not over it, not really. Now I'm just functioning, but I feel like I'm living to die.
Well, I'm very sorry to hear it. Do you have anyone who cares for you?
Well, what can they do? What can anyone say, you know?
I get it. Well, hang in there. Just listen to me. I'm your friend. How's that? Stay alive for me. Would you do that?
So much, and I could say a lot on the events today.
But Faye, listen to me. Would you promise me that you will continue to listen to my show every day?
Oh, I have been, yes.
All right. Well, let me fill that emptiness for you in a small way, please.
Thank you for
calling. I knew a guy, now that you mentioned, now that I think about it. He was an elderly gentleman, wonderful man in London. She didn't commit suicide, but she died of cancer after a long period of time, the wife. And they were very close. And I went to visit him in London to kind of hold his hand. And he sat, and he was a really, I don't know, very wealthy guy, worldly. And he sat in that chair, he wouldn't leave. He just kept saying, the whole world is turned upside down. The whole world is turned upside down. I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do. I mean, people get imbalanced with the death of a spouse or a loved one. Now, you can just imagine taking that when it's a natural death. And now imagine what it is when it's a violent, self-inflicted death, such as that of Robin Williams. Now, think about the devastation that it has caused on those around them. I mean, I want you to think about the ramifications of it. And then maybe something positive can come out of it in that sense. Oregon, K. Eugene, U-G-E-N, U-G-N, Eugene, Oregon, one of the most beautiful places on earth. Dusty, welcome to the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
You know what? Robin Williams is not to be vilified. He was sick. People who commit suicide are not selfish. They're sick. I was there myself. And I was not thinking cognitively. I was not thinking straight. And,
a therapist should say to you, think of the damage this will do to those around you if you should kill yourself.
You aren't in that space in your head.
Well, wait a minute. Isn't the job of the therapist to get you somewhere where you can understand what your act will do to others?
Well, wait a minute. You can't go to a therapist. That's a stigma. Nobody goes to get help from a therapist. They're all crooked. They're all, charlatans.
Why do you say that? Why would you say that?
Because everybody says that. I don't know anybody who, I've seen four generations of people who just keep on abusing their children because they never go get help.
Well, I don't think that everyone thinks therapists are charlatans, and what I'm saying is a therapist needs to be somewhat of a guiding angel, not just sit there and hold your hand and say, you should feel sorry for yourself. A therapist should also say, look, you better think about not hurting yourself, because if you do, it's going to hurt those around you in the following manner. A good therapist would say, I want you to envision what you will look like if you shoot your brains out, and I want you to think about those around you and what your act will do to them. That's what a therapist ought to say. In addition to giving you a pill. Dusty, I hope you feel better. I stick by my vision. Suicide is an act of aggression. It hurts those around the individual who gets themselves into that state of mind that they can't get out of. It's the Savage Nation. Thanks for listening. God bless America.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.